We are continuing Chapter 14 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. They woke the next day to brilliant sunshine and a light, refreshing breeze. "Perfect Quidditch conditions," said Wood enthusiastically at the Gryffindor table, loading the team's plates with scrambled eggs. "Harry, buck up there. You need a decent breakfast." Harry had been staring down at the packed Gryffindor table, wondering if the new owner of Riddle's diary was right in front of his eyes. Hermione had been urging him to report the robbery, but Harry didn't like the idea. He'd have to tell a teacher all about the diary, and how many people knew why Hagrid had been expelled 50 years ago? He didn't want to be the one who brought it all up again. As he left the Great Hall with Ron and Hermione to go and collect his Quidditch things, another very serious worry was added to Harry's growing list. He had just set foot on the marble staircase when he heard it yet again. "Kill this time. Let me rip, tear." He shouted aloud, and Ron and Hermione both jumped away from him in alarm. "The voice," Harry said, looking over his shoulder. "I just heard it again, didn't you?" Ron shook his head wide-eyed. Hermione, however, clapped a hand to her forehead. "Harry, I think I've just understood something. I've got to go to the library." And she sprinted away up the stairs. "What does she understand?" Harry said distractedly, still looking around, trying to tell where the voice had come from. "Loads more than I do," said Ron, shaking his head. "But why has she got to go to the library?" "Because that's what Hermione does," said Ron, shrugging. "When in doubt, go to the library." Harry stood irresolute, trying to catch the voice again, but people were now emerging from the great hall behind him, talking loudly, exiting through the front doors on their way to the Quidditch pitch. "You'd better get moving," said Ron. "It's nearly 11, the match." Harry raced up Gryffindor Tower, collected his Nimbus 2000, and joined the large crowd swarming across the grounds. But his mind was still in the castle along with the bodiless voice, and as he pulled on his scarlet robes in the locker room, his only comfort was that everyone was now outside to watch the game. The teams walked onto the field to tumultuous applause. Oliver Wood took off for the warm-up flight around the goalposts. Madame Hooch released the balls. The Hufflepuff, who played in canary yellow, were standing in a huddle, having a last-minute discussion of tactics. Harry was just mounting his broom when Professor McGonagall came half-marching, half-running across the pitch, carrying an enormous purple megaphone. Harry's heart dropped like a stone. "This match has been cancelled," Professor McGonagall called through the megaphone, addressing the packed stadium. There were boos and shouts. Oliver Wood, looking devastated, landed and ran toward Professor McGonagall without getting off his broom. "But Professor," he shouted, "we've got to play. The Cup! Gryffindor!" Professor McGonagall ignored him and continued to shout through a megaphone. "All students are to make their way back to the House Common Rooms, where their heads of house will give them further information. As quickly as you can, please." Then she lowered the megaphone and beckoned Harry over to her. "Potter, I think you better come with me." Wondering how she could possibly suspect him this time, Harry saw Ron detach himself from the complaining crowd. He came running up to them as they set off toward the castle. To Harry's surprise, Professor McGonagall didn't object. "Yes, perhaps you'd better come too, Weasley." Some of the students swarming around them were grumbling about the match being cancelled. Others looked worried. Harry and Ron followed Professor McGonagall back into the school and up the marble staircase. But they weren't taken to anybody's office this time. "This will be a bit of a shock," said Professor McGonagall in a surprisingly gentle voice as they approached the infirmary. "There's been another attack, another double attack." Harry's insides did a horrible somersault. Professor McGonagall pushed the door open, and he and Ron entered. Madame Pomfrey was bending over a sixth-year girl with long curly hair. Harry recognized her as the Ravenclaw they'd accidentally asked for directions to the Slytherin common room, and on the bed next to her was Hermione. Ron groaned. Hermione lay utterly still, her eyes open and glassy. "They were found near the library. Said Professor McGonagall. "I don't suppose either of you can explain this?" It was on the floor next to them. She was holding up a small circular mirror. Harry and Ron shook their heads, both staring at Hermione. "I will escort you back to Gryffindor Tower," said Professor McGonagall heavily. "I need to address the students in any case." "All students will return to their house common rooms by 6 o'clock in the evening. No student is to leave the dormitories after that. You will be escorted to each lesson by a teacher. No student is to use the bathroom unaccompanied by a teacher. All further Quidditch training and matches are to be postponed. There will be no more evening activities." The Gryffindors packed inside the common room, listening to Professor McGonagall in silence. She rolled up the parchment from which she had been reading and said in a somewhat choked voice, "I need hardly add that I have rarely been so distressed. It is likely the school will be closed unless the culprit behind these attacks is caught. I would urge anyone who thinks they might know anything about them to come forward." She climbed somewhat awkwardly out of the portrait hole, and the Gryffindors began talking immediately. That's two Gryffindors down, not counting a Gryffindor ghost. One Ravenclaw, one Hufflepuff," said the Weasley twins' friend, Lee Jordan, counting on his fingers. "Hasn't any of the teachers noticed that the Slytherins are all safe? Isn't it obvious this stuff's coming from Slytherin? Heir of Slytherin, the monster of Slytherin? Why don't they just chuck all the Slytherins out?" he roared, to nods and scattered applause. Percy Weasley was sitting on a chair behind Lee, but for once, he didn't seem keen to make his views heard. He was looking pale and stunned. "Percy's in shock," George told Harry quietly. "The Ravenclaw girl, Penelope Clearwater, she's a prefect. I don't think he thought the monster would dare attack a prefect." But Harry was only half listening. He didn't seem to be able to get rid of the picture of Hermione lying on the hospital bed as though carved out of stone. And if the culprit wasn't caught soon, he would be looking at a lifetime back with the Dursleys. Tom Riddle had turned Hagrid in because he was faced with the prospect of a Muggle orphanage if the school closed. Harry now knew exactly how he felt. What are we going to do?" said Ron quietly into Harry's ear. "Do you think they suspect Hagrid?" "We've got to go talk to him," said Harry, making up his mind. "I can't believe it's him this time, but if he set the monster loose last time, he'll know how to get inside the Chamber of Secrets, and that's a start." "But Professor McGonagall said we've got to stay in our tower unless we're in class." "I think," said Harry, more quietly still, "it's time to get my dad's old cloak out again." Harry had inherited just one thing from his father, a long and silvery invisibility cloak. It was their only chance of sneaking out of the school to visit Hagrid without anyone knowing about it. They went to bed the usual time, waited until Dean Neville and Seamus had stopped discussing the Chamber of Secrets and finally fallen asleep, then got up, dressed, and threw the cloak over themselves. The journey through the dark and deserted castle corridors wasn't enjoyable. Harry, who had wandered the castle at night several times before, had never seen it so crowded after sunset. Teachers, prefects, and ghosts were marching the corridors in pairs, staring around for any unusual activity. The invisibility cloak didn't stop them from making noise, and there was a particularly tense moment when Ron stubbed his toe only yards from the spot where Snape stood standing guard. Thankfully, Snape sneezed at almost exactly the moment Ron swore. It was a relief that they reached the oak front doors and eased them open. It was a clear, starry night. They hurried toward the lit window of Hagrid's house and pulled off the cloak only when they were right outside his front door. Seconds after they had knocked, Hagrid flung it open. They found themselves face to face with him aiming a crossbow at them. Fang the boarhound barked loudly behind them. "Oh," he said, lowering the weapon and staring at them. "What are you two doing here?" "What's that for?" said Harry, pointing at the crossbow as they stepped inside. Nothing, Hagrid muttered. "I've been expecting. Doesn't matter. Sit down. I'll make tea." He hardly seemed to know what he was doing. He nearly extinguished the fire, spilling water on the kettle on it, and smashed the teapot with a nervous jerk of his massive hand. "Are you okay, Hagrid?" said Harry. "Did you hear about Hermione?" "Oh, I heard, all right," said Hagrid, a slight break in his voice. He kept glancing nervously at the windows. He poured them both large mugs of boiling water. He had forgotten to add tea bags, and was just putting a slab of fruitcake on a plate when there was a loud knock on the door. Harry dropped the fruitcake. Harry and Ron exchanged panic-stricken looks and threw the invisibility cloak back over themselves and retreated into a corner. Hagrid checked that they were hidden, seized his crossbow, and flung the door open once more. "Good evening, Hagrid." It was Dumbledore. He entered, looking deadly serious, and was followed by a second, very odd-looking man. The stranger had rumpled gray hair and an anxious expression, and was wearing a strange mixture of clothes, a pinstriped suit, a scarlet tie, a long black cloak, and pointed purple boots. Under his arm he carried a lime-green bowler. "That's Dad's boss," Ron breathed. "Cornelius Fudge, the Minister of Magic." Harry elbowed Ron hard to make him shut up. Hagrid had gone pale and sweaty. He dropped into one of his chairs and looked from Dumbledore to Cornelius Fudge. "Bad business, Hagrid," said Fudge in rather clipped tones. "Very bad business. Had to come. 4 attacks on Muggleborns, things have gone far enough. Ministry's got to act." "I never," said Hagrid, looking imploringly at Dumbledore. "You know I never, Professor Dumbledore, sir." "I want it understood, Cornelius, that Hagrid has my full confidence." "Look, Albus," said Fudge, uncomfortably. "Hagrid's record's against him. Ministry's got to do something. The school governors have been in touch." "Yet again, Cornelius, I tell you that taking Hagrid away will not help in the slightest," said Dumbledore. His blue eyes were full of a fire Harry had never seen before. "Look at it from my point of view," said Fudge, fidgeting with his bowler. "I'm under a lot of pressure. Got to be seen to doing something. But if it turns out it wasn't Hagrid, he'll be back and no more said. But I've got to take him. Got to. Wouldn't be doing my duty." "Take me," said Hagrid, who was trembling. "Take me where?" "For only a short stretch," said Fudge, not meeting Hagrid's eyes. "Not a punishment, Hagrid, more of a precaution. If someone else is caught, you'll be let out with a full apology." "Not Azkaban?" croaked Hagrid. Before Fudge could answer, there was another loud rap on the door. Dumbledore answered it. It was Harry's turn for an elbow to the ribs. He'd let out an audible gasp. Mr. Lucius Malfoy strode into Hagrid's hut, swathed in a long black traveling cloak, smiling a cold, satisfied smile. Fang started to growl. "Already here, Fudge," he said approvingly. "Good, good." "What are you doing here?" said Hagrid furiously. "Get out of my house." "My dear man, please believe me, I have no pleasure at all in being inside your... Do you call this your house?" said Lucius Malfoy, sneering as he looked around the small cabin. "I simply called at the school and was told that the headmaster was here." "And what exactly do you want, Lucius?" said Dumbledore. He spoke politely, but the fire was still blazing in his dreadful eyes. "Dreadful thing, Dumbledore," said Malfoy lazily, taking out a long roll of parchment. "But the governors feel it's time for you to step aside. This is an order of suspension. You'll find all 12 signatures on it. I'm afraid we feel you're losing your touch. How many attacks has there been now? 2 more this afternoon, wasn't it? At this rate, there'll be no Muggleborns left at Hogwarts. We all know what an awful loss that will be at the school." "Oh, now see here, Lucius," said Fudge, looking alarmed. "Dumbledore suspended. No, no, last thing we want just now is..." "The appointment, or suspension, of the headmaster is a matter for the governors, Fudge," said Malfoy smoothly. "And as Dumbledore has failed to stop these attacks..." "See here, Malfoy, if Dumbledore can't stop them," said Fudge, whose upper lip was sweating now. "I mean to say, who can?" "That remains to be seen," said Malfoy, with a nasty smile. "But as all 12 of us have voted..." Hagrid leapt to his feet, his shaggy black hair grazing the ceiling. "And how many of them did he have to threaten blackmail before they agreed, Malfoy, eh?" he roared. "Dear, dear. You know that temper of yours will lead you into trouble one of these days, Hagrid," Mr. Malfoy said. "I would advise you not to shout at the Azkaban guards like that. They won't like it at all." "You can take Dumbledore," Hagrid yelled, making Fang, the boarhound, cower and whimper in his basket. "Take him away and the Muggleborns won't stand a chance. They'll be killing next." "Calm yourself, Hagrid," said Dumbledore sharply. He looked at Lucius Malfoy. If the governors want my removal, Lucius, I shall of course step aside. But, stuttered Fudge. No, growled Hagrid. Dumbledore had not taken his bright blue eyes off Lucius Malfoy's cold gray ones. However, said Dumbledore, speaking very slowly and clearly so that none of them could miss a word, you will find that I will only truly have left the school when none here are loyal to me. You will also find that help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who will ask for it. For a second, Harry was almost sure Dumbledore's eyes flickered toward the corner where he and Ron stood hidden. Admirable sentiments, said Malfoy, bowing. We shall all miss your highly individual way of running things, Albus, and only hope that your successor will manage to prevent any killings. He strode to the cabin door, opened it, and bowed Dumbledore out. Fudge, fiddling with his bowler, waited for Hagrid to go ahead of him. But Hagrid stood his ground, took a deep breath, and said carefully, If anyone wanted to find out some stuff, all they'd have to do would be to follow the spiders. That'd lead them right. That's all I'm saying. Fudge stared at him in amazement. All right, I'm coming, said Hagrid, putting on his moleskin overcoat. But as he was about to follow Fudge through the door, he stopped again and said loudly, And someone will need to feed Fang while I'm away. The door banged shut, and Ron pulled off the invisibility cloak. We're in trouble now, he said hoarsely. No, Dumbledore. They might as well close the school tonight. There'll be an attack a day with him gone. Fang started howling, scratching at the closed door. And that's the end of chapter 14. And tomorrow we'll read chapter 15, Aragog. And I hope you like that, my sweet kitten boo. And it's time for bed. Good night, beautiful. I love you.